at 11 p.m. according to the MFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. Now at 11:02, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's 2, and I don't know how much of the silliest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. It's all the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double-dong daring you since 1990. How many times have we seen the flesh tone since then? Good question. Right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Coming up in around about an hour, let's call it the Midnight 5 hour. It will be time for the Radio Obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks and months. And boy, are we working it hard these days. Boy. But now it's time for us to jump right into the first portion of the program. I will forewarn you, as usual, we are pre-recording this program at Babyland. Nothing new there. But I've been working on it all week long because I am going to go see the Fleshtones tonight in Norwood, Massachusetts, of all places. And we'll hopefully see a few of you, the listener, in attendance there, because you know you can always catch it on the archive if you need to. Nothing wrong with that. But it just means I'm working a little fast tonight, where tonight is really today. It's like we're seeing right into the future here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
What to tell her? I had a dizzy feeling in my head. Then she took a look at my palm. She said, "Sonny, you feel kind of warm." She looked into a crystal ball and said, "You're in love." I said, "How could that be so? I'm not tight with none of the girls I know." She said, "When the next sun arrives, you'll be looking up in her eyes." Looking forward to
that the fortune teller told me a lie. I hurried back down to that woman, mad as I could be. I told her I didn't see nobody, why she made a fool of me. Then something struck me, as if it came from up above. While looking at the fortune teller, I fell in love. Now I'm a happy fella, I'm married to the fortune teller. We're happy as we can be, and now I get my fortune told for free.
Predictor looks into the future and, yes, I see. I predict that marijuana will be legal in
Come on, get your ice cold mother's milk. Come on, get it.
19.
Shine like yesterday. Radar shows a hurry. evangelical hootenanny, alligator fortune teller. She performed some magic tricks for his enjoyment, but still he refused to appear. She bought a ticket to a ball game and a ticket to a nightclub and saw double. Finally, she could stand it no longer. Finally couldn't. She jumped out in front of his Ford and yelled, "Turn this boat around." Now comes he. May recites this lovely poem. "I am interested in your presence, present in your absence, disturbed by your disturbance, and turbulent in your wake. I walk with a disturbed walk, but don't disturb my dance, and let's dance."
And great shall be the tumult thereof.
Will the veil of the temple be rent in twain?
The veil of the temple will be rent in twain. About 2 minutes before, we see the sign of the manifest flying beast head in the sky head.
Oh. And will there be a mighty wind, Brother Ennis?
Certainly there'll be a mighty wind, if the word of God is anything to go by.
And will this wind be so mighty as to lay low the mountains of the earth?
No, it will not be quite as mighty as that. That is why we've come up on the mountain, see, you stupid nit, to be safe. Up here upon the mountain we shall be safe. Safe as houses.
But what will happen to the houses, Brother?
Oh, well, naturally, the houses will all be swept away and consumed by the fire what is in the heaven and on the earth, and serve them right.
And shall we be consumed?
Consumed? No, we shall not be consumed. We shall be up on the mountain here, you see, while millions burn, having a bit of a giggle.
When will it be, this end of which you have spoken?
Aye! When will it be?
In about 30 seconds' time, as far as I can see, according to the very ancient scrolls and my Omega watch.
Shall we compose ourselves?
Good plan, Brother Pibby. 15 seconds.
Have you got the tin food?
Yes.
10 seconds.
Opener.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Now is the end, perish the world.
It was GMT, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not quite the conflagration I'd been banking on. Never mind, lads. Same time tomorrow. We must get a winner one day.
Anticipation amounts, the tension rising. Will you be here to clasp my aching arms? Until you're in my grasp, I can't abide the stress, for I'm a lass whose lips anticipation amounts, despair encroaches. Will you be here to soothe my lust, I ask? I'm aching for your touch, I'm pining very much. It's like an itch to which I reach, and yet the stretch cannot approach the itch to scratch. Darling, however can I let you know the scope, the width, the breadth, the depth of this newfound passion? How long must I wait in silent torment for the certainly succulent succor of your sweet kiss? Scarcely strength in this fluttering, pattering heart to beat, barely able to eat, and as if that were not enough. Anticipation mounts, I grow despondent, my consternation rises with each breath. And then I'm met with that ghastly, repugnant sensation that's called a sudden sense of foreboding. That singular sensory signal of extra perception is rapidly happening here in my brain. And unless I'm completely mistaken, I'd venture to say you've sustained a significant scapular fracture. And presently now you're reclining half dead in a ditch. Either that, or you're kissing the neck of a female physician. Can't really tell which. Anticipation grows, the tension mounting. I watch the minute hand, the second hand. I stand here counting, filled with that restless, intensely suspenseful sensation. Come on, baby. You've got to be coming around the corner now. You're neck and neck. Yeah, yeah, you're on the stairs. You're almost here. You're coming around the hallway. Yeah, yeah. You ask, what is this thing of which I'm speaking? And is it bird or beast or simply foul? What can be turning my life to complete ruination? It's called anticipation. Si, si, senor, anticipation. Oui, may we.
Well, I know you listeners will be delighted to hear that our Bob and Ray weather station is now back in service. It's right on the top floor of this very building.
That's amazing.
Well, I don't see why you think it's amazing, Ray. Men have been up there working on the equipment for almost a week now.
Oh, I don't mean it's amazing that the weather station is back in service. I just found it amazing when you said our listeners will be delighted to hear about it.
Oh, maybe delighted is too strong a word, but we do have a lot of sophisticated new equipment up there, so we're now able to give accurate forecasts for the entire nation. And best of all, we have our two expert meteorologists back on the job, Walton Krager and Charles L. Burnback.
Indeed we do. So for you listeners whose business or vacation plans may depend upon the weather around the country, we switch now to Walton Krager and Charles L. Burnback at the Bob and Ray Weather Station on the top floor.
Thank you, Bob and Ray, on a lower floor. This is Charles L. Burnback speaking from Weather Central. I'm standing before a large computerized instrument.
Hey, Charlie, what do you want on your toast, jelly or marmalade?
Neither one, just a little butter.
You got it.
Here you go. I think we'd better get the toaster checked out. It's making that funny noise again.
Well, right now we're on the air, Walt, and I was just about to tell our listeners that we have this new computerized instrument to bring in pictures from our Bob and Ray weather satellite. For instance, right now we're focused on the Great Lakes region where a storm front is moving in.
Well, I don't see anything there but some little pieces of fluffy white stuff.
Well, the man who installed this equipment told me that patches of fluffy white stuff are really pictures of storm clouds.
Well, that's not a very clear picture. I took some snapshots of a storm cloud when I was in meteorology school. They all came out a lot better than this.
Well, I don't think you can make a comparison, Walt. You were probably on the ground when you made those snapshots.
Well, of course I was. I said I was in a meteorology school. The school was located on the ground. What's your point?
Well, this picture was taken from our weather satellite, and it's in outer space.
Oh, really? Well, it's still not a very clear picture. You didn't send the film to one of those cheap, quickie places to be developed, did you?
I didn't have any film from the satellite developed, Walt. Maybe one of the girls in the office handled that. In any event, we can see stormy conditions now over the Great Lakes.
What makes you think those things are the Great Lakes?
Well, the Atlantic coast is this thing over here, and the Pacific coast is over there. These little three things are about in the middle near the top. That must be the Great Lakes.
Well, I thought there were four Great Lakes.
No, I'm pretty sure there are only three. The Great Salt Lake is sometimes called Great, but it's not really one of the Great Lakes.
Maybe you're right. So if this really is a storm, and those really are the Great Lakes, well, then what?
It will have moved either eastward or southward by tomorrow morning, which will put it over Wisconsin or North Carolina.
Why, I thought this was Illinois over here and Alabama down there.
No, besides what you're pointing at on our satellite picture isn't part of the United States at all. That's Cuba.
Well, the picture's so fuzzy, I don't know how you can tell. Hmm. I really think we ought to send somebody up there to focus that camera better.
Well, I guess we could try, but for now, I was talking to my brother in Detroit just before we went on the air, and he said it's starting to get real cloudy out there.
Well, based on that, I'd be willing to go out on a limb and predict possible showers for the Detroit area by late evening.
Yes, and those could easily spread into Wisconsin and North Carolina by morning.
I thought we decided on Illinois and Alabama.
Well, either way, you folks in that part of the country are in for some heavy weather, so you'd better cover your citrus plants and bring in the porch furniture tonight.
I agree. And now, concluding today's report from our state-of-the-art weather satellite, this is Walton Krager speaking for Charles L. Burnback and myself, sending it back downstairs to Bob and Ray.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. That was indeed 30 minutes. And we are working through the first portion of this evening's program on the way to a ridiculous number of radio obituaries. In the next portion of the program, we've got so much to jam in here tonight, as usual. I know. It's just, I just don't have much self-control when it comes to this kind of thing. I do what I can. And we see how it goes. Luckily, you're very patient with me right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Turns to left to right, mid-right, left. Futurama. General Motors Futurama at the New York World's Fair, where you meet the future face to face. It's an experience you'll never forget, because the fantastic Futurama ride takes you into the future and makes you feel like you're there, in outer space, beneath the sea, in unbelievable places, watching believable things happen. Many of the futuristic things you'll see are already more than just a part of the General Motors Futurama exhibit. They're demonstration models, in a sense, of scientific ideas being developed now. Stroll down our avenue of progress and see this kind of product on display. And also the exciting array of new products in our Product Plaza. At the fair, see General Motors Futurama first. Take the trip. That's worth the trip to the fair. It's free.
Trouble, I was running from the mob. When the circus came to town, I went looking for a job. But the circus couldn't use me, so I turned about to leave. When a gypsy fortune teller grabbed me by the sleeve. She took me to her wagon, where I fixed a broken wheel. And in return her secrets to me she did reveal. Let them all roll up and get their money's worth. It all comes down to the greatest show on earth. She said that she was restless for some wide and open space. By tomorrow she'd be gone and that I could take her place. Well, I did not need persuading. I knew I could not fail. I called myself Candida and hid behind a veil. Let them all roll up and get their money's worth. It all comes down to the greatest show on earth. And though I never told the truth, kings and queens and presidents came flocking to my booth. For what the future holds in store is anybody's guess. While fortunes can be made from people's loneliness, so let them all roll up and get their money's worth. It all comes down to the greatest show on earth. Yeah, let them all roll up and get their money's worth. It all comes down to the greatest show on earth.
This is Beth Bevan of the Electric Light Orchestra speaking to you. When it comes to hard drugs, that's just bad news. Everyone else believes this. If I can convince anybody who's listening to this that hard drugs is bad news and you just shouldn't do it and you've just been so foolish to do it, then I'm really glad I've made this recording.
So the men of Monterey fight and die for ills, but nothing ills too. But it's better for man, nothing or something. Something is positive and nothing is negative. The positive is the life you live, and the thoughts that you think, and the death you die. That is the positive. The negative is the impossible, like immortality. In the planet Earth, election day is near. Are you going to choose the positive or the negative? Are you going to stick with the possible? Are you going to reach for the impossible? If you care to reach for the impossible, that is my department. What is better for man, nothing or something? Something is positive, and nothing is negative. The positive is the life you live, and the thoughts that you think, and the death you die. That is the positive. The negative is the impossible, like immortality. In the planet Earth, election day is near. Are you going to choose the positive or the negative? Are you going to stick with the possible? Are you going to reach for the impossible? If you care to reach for the impossible, that is my department. The positive is the life you live, and the thoughts that you think, and the death you die. That is the positive. The negative is the impossible, like immortality. In the planet Earth, election day is near. Are you going to choose the positive or the negative?
Sitting here in my yard in quarantine in Nashville. I've got a house and a yard. I moved here a year ago. I lived here before, too. This is as good a place as any to be. I wished I was in Europe, but then COVID hit. I don't even want to hang out that much. I used to hang out at a club or somewhere. I don't need that anymore. Where I am is not an important scene anymore. Right now, I've got myself moved into this big house with all my stuff, so I need to be here at least another couple years. I picture myself on the Mediterranean. I think it's become an obsession. But that's not happening now.
Really?
One, two.
She just got home from the doctor. I just got home from the mill. She looked a little peaked. Her eyes were kind of streaked. I couldn't figure out what made her ill. She looked a little weepish, smile kind of sheepish. The answer hit me like a hickory maul. I throwed my dinner bucket down, yelled like a trailing hound. I was gonna be a daddy after all. Now the waiting, anticipating, rock-a-bye, I'm gonna be a daddy now. Well, the weeks went by kinda sweetly. Then all at once I thought she lost her mind. She would rant, she'd rave for the things she would crave, like ice cream and sauerkraut combined. She wanted watermelon, it was winter time. Dill pickles set around the house in jars. My house, she'd eat that stuff, she never seemed to get enough. And at 3 a.m. she'd want candy bars. Oh, the waiting, anticipating, rock-a-bye, I'm gonna be a daddy now. Well, at last the time was drawing near. I began to walk and pace and sweat. The doctor said, now son, I know this ain't no fun, but we ain't never lost a daddy yet. I stood up and I sat down, I even thought of leaving town. The doctor and the nurse came out all grins. They said, buck up my boy, you should shout with joy, you're the daddy of a pair of bouncing twins. No more waiting, anticipating, rock-a-bye, I'm a dad.
Speedy West.
Anticipate. Synonyms: apprehend, expect, forecast, foretaste, hope, look forward to. To anticipate may be either to take before in fact or to take before in thought. In the former sense, it is allied with prevent, in the latter with the synonyms above given. This is coming to be the prevalent and favourite use. We expect that which we have good reason to believe will happen, as a boy expects to grow to manhood. We hope for that which we much desire and somewhat expect. We apprehend what we both expect and fear. Anticipate is commonly used now, like foretaste, of that which we expect both with confidence and pleasure. In this use it is a stronger word than hope, where often the wish is father to the thought. I hope for a visit from my friend, though I have no word from him. I expect it when he writes that he is coming. And as the time draws near, I anticipate it with pleasure. Compare abide, prevent. Antonyms: despair of, distrust, doubt, dread, fear, recall, recollect, remember.
Platforms sink, impressions nearly stay direct. Living out a vision of a Philistine. All will temptation provide. The owners want.
Radio.
Well, g'day. My name is Captain Kane Teed, and I'm here to tell you that in my last life, I was a knocker copperina. I smelt a bit cleaner, but fair dinkum, nowadays I'm always underfoot, heavy. Whatever you're thinking, got me juicing, whatever you're drinking, so don't knock me back.
Sex is shutting down.
Duck beneath the surface, see what you can find. Feel the real world underneath the image that's blinding. You think that the world exists just in your head. You say you don't care about living or about being dead. Those mystical illusions are gonna let you down. When you're in need, watch the gurus all leaving town. We're in this world, we're alive, we exist. And whatever we're seeing, there's more that we miss. So go beyond appearance, do what must be done. World is in constant change, and it's changing everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the new product for today's generation. Yes, here it is, Woman. You may have heard of this product before, but now Woman is new and improved. Not just cleaning the dishes, not just working for a living, but a woman with heart and soul, sensitivity and intuition. Yes, you too should have your own Woman.
I always anticipate success. We get what we expect in life and in any situation. Why not preview it in your mind and expect success? If you can expect success, you are actually aligning the energy of the universe and of that situation in your favor. If you anticipate failure, you are making everything line up in favor of failure. So you get to choose. Why not choose success with I Always Anticipate Success?
Land is mine, all mine. Oh, 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 oh.
prophet sent by God to tell the squirrels sinners gonna weep and mourn, and the devil and all his angels fire and brimstone they shall burn, 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 burn. Oh.
Miss Fisk, may I speak to you for a moment?
Certainly.
Yes, I'm from the New York Times.
Mm.
I've been sent. I understand that you claim the world is coming to an end on Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
How do you have this information?
It came to me in a vision. It was a revelation to me.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe your vision?
Well, it was the statement, the world is going to end on Wednesday, more or less. There was no picture of anybody, but the words themselves were firmly imprinted.
In your mind?
Oh, no, no. It was an external vision. They were, like, written across the sky.
Really?
Yes.
But nobody else saw it?
Well, no, it was my vision.
And any particular time on Wednesday?
3:30.
3:30?
Mm-hmm.
3:30 New York time?
Well, I'll give a minute here or there. I guess the vision, I had the vision in New York, so, gee, I think, yes, 3:30 New York time.
So that whatever time corresponds around the world, it would just...
Yes, that will be it.
It's happening everywhere at once.
Yes, oh yes, the whole world will go together.
Now, have you had any visions before?
No, I haven't. It's my first vision.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you very much. Is there anything, Miss Fisk, that you'd like to add for the story? What are you going to try to do before Wednesday at 3:30 if you feel the world will end then?
Well, I'm going to try to get the laundry done, and very much the same things I would do.
Really, just go on with everything.
Well, there's not much else you can do when the world's going to end, you know.
How have your neighbors reacted?
Well, some of them, of course, are too frightened to accept it or try to make it into a joke, and some of them are quite panic-stricken.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I certainly hope for your sake that the world does end Wednesday at 3:30, or there'll be a lot of people furious at you.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed.
Why do these eyes of mine cry?